I'm Eric Stock here with Jamal Jackson and Quincy Butler, two members of the Illinois Wesleyan football team. Both are seniors. Jamal was from Shepherd High School. He's from Calumet Park, a major in philosophy and business marketing. Quincy from Homewood Flossmoor High School is a business marketing major as well. And the reason we wanted to talk to you, gentlemen, we saw last Saturday at the Illinois Wesleyan football game, you two both veteran members and starters on the team, during the playing of the national anthem, decided to take a knee in, I guess, an apparent nod to Colin Kaepernick and the demonstration that he has done for several weeks now in the National Football League. I guess I'll start with you, Jamal. What first motivated you guys to sort of follow suit, if you will?
What really motivated us was the guys on the team were talking, and there's issues that we faced pretty much our whole life, our whole time in college, issues that are constantly in the news with injustices in society. And we're usually, there's not really many things we can do to support our cause. We don't have a lot of money, so we can't, there's nothing to donate to. Being involved in sports and in school, we don't have a bunch of free time, so we noticed what Colin Kaepernick did was something that we were easily able to replicate and do ourselves, to basically put a little bit of action behind what we believe in.
Quincy, what did you first think when you saw Colin do what he did?
Well, initially, I just wanted to make sure I understood, you know, the things that, you know, he was, you know, taking that knee for. And, you know, when he kind of laid out the things as far as, you know, the social injustices people of color deal with, the issue with police brutality and racial profiling, those are all things that I've been, you know, looking at more and more, you know, as I've been in college, and it really affects me. And so, I mean, I couldn't do more than, you know, support him and what he was doing. And the fact that he went and said that, he stressed the fact that he wasn't meaning any type of disrespect to the military or anybody like that, made me, you know, feel more assured that that's something that, you know, I support and could see myself doing. So,
Jamal, you talked about injustices, and Quincy, you alluded to that too. If you're comfortable sharing what kind of injustices, not only that you see perhaps, you know, in in society, but what you feel you've personally been a subject to.
Well, there's a bunch of small things that I could probably touch on, whether it be being pulled over for no reason and given a ticket. I've actually been given maybe 7 tickets while driving, like pulled over and given tickets, and all of them dropped once I get to court because they're not really meaningful tickets, such as being pulled over because I'm listening to loud music in a quiet neighborhood or whatever. And then when I get pulled over, I ask the officer, oh, so was I doing anything wrong? Just wait here a second. Okay, they run my information, come back to the car with tickets for one headlight being out. Well, no, one headlight being dimmer than the other. That's what the ticket was for, so improper use of headlights. I had my license, and my wallet was in my backpack, and I say, oh, can I grab my wallet out of my backpack? No, that's fine. And then I come back. He comes back and gives me a ticket for driving without a license. And then once I get to court, they're like, oh, well, we'll drop this. And that was just one small example. Like,
and I guess what the connection that you're making is, if you were white, that would not have happened.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I was driving through a predominantly white neighborhood on a Sunday night around 11 o'clock at night, driving this tiny little red sports car. So it looks a little souped up, and that's a reason to be profiled. That's one example I can give. I don't know.
Quincy, any stories like that for you to share?
Well, yeah, I have a similar story when I was pulled over before, and I guess my biggest issue, I didn't get a ticket or anything, which is me asking the officer, you know, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And I think his reasoning was, you weren't staying straight in your lane. I found out to be, you know, maybe a little bit of a cop-out. I thought maybe he could have been looking for something else. But honestly, besides, you know, instances of getting pulled over, something that I've been kind of looking into and thinking about is the lack of business ownership when it comes to people of color. And, you know, something growing up, I had a lot of friends that dads own businesses and restaurants and things like that. I never really, you know, thought about it in a way that, you know, those are usually my white friends that have parents and grandparents own businesses. Why, you know, why isn't it my, you know, my cousins or my uncles or my dad or my grandfather who owns businesses? And, you know, when I think more and more on it and I think about, you know, usually my friends with parents and whatnot that, you know, have family members that own businesses, they're usually doing great financially, and they really don't have much issues to worry about. And so I like to tie this back into, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, you know, people of color really struggled to be able to you know, own their own businesses for just because that's how the culture was, and, you know, they wouldn't grant, you know, proper business loans and things like that to people of color. And so, you know, when I look at, you know, the African-American race and people of color today, and I try to, you know, understand, you know, why what's the struggle coming from? Why, you know, why aren't we in the financial situations that we can be comfortable and live without worry? That's something I look to, and you know, and even though I never really looked at it growing up as something that, you know, directly hurt me, when I open my eyes and see, you know, who benefits off of it and who doesn't, you know, it bothers me a little bit. And, you know, not to be bitter or to look at, you know, my white friends and stuff like that, and I don't think they should, you know, feel sorry for themselves or anything like that, but, you know, it's just stuff that comes up and I think about, and, you know, I hope to make a change, you know, for stuff like that. So, yeah.
So I guess that would be the next step, and Colin Kaepernick has been asked of this, and fair to ask each of you. It's one thing, of course, to bring to light issues that you feel need addressed, but then how do you go about making change, and how do you help in that cause?
Yeah, so like Jamal kind of pointed to it earlier, we don't have that $1 million to donate to, you know, some of these, you know, charities and whatnot that organizations that help out some of these issues. But, you know, something that I think has a lot of value, especially when you talk about, you know, our generation being the next generation to take over and really, you know, lead change in this world, in our country, it's just me having a conversation with my teammates and my friends and making sure that they understand, you know, what's going on, you know, in our society, and making sure that their minds aren't in places where that when they have kids, they're telling them the wrong thing, so that, you know, besides moving to a more progressive and equal, you know, country, we're still kind of stagnating or not really getting what we need. So I think just for me, having conversation with teammates and friends and kind of educating them on, you know, what the things are is enough for me, honestly, to, you know, feel like I'm making an impact.
Jamal?
Yeah, pretty much just what Quincy said. The main thing is, you know, we have a voice. We don't have, yeah, again, we don't have much money or anything, but we have a voice, and, you know, we have the right to use our voice. And the same way that we got noticed by you and your station, we can get noticed by a bunch of other people at our school. Illinois Wesleyan is a pretty influential school in the Midwest. A lot of our peers are going to be the people that lead society, I believe. Not just Illinois Wesleyan, just people our age in general. And all it takes is one or two people in our age group to say, well, this is what I believe in, and this is what I'm going to stand for. And then it'll start conversation, which can cause others to either support us or challenge their own beliefs and maybe not support us. But the conversation that's ignited is pretty much what leads to the action that'll cause the change.
I'm sure you both have heard and have considered some of the backlash that Colin Kaepernick, for one, faced, some saying that it was disrespectful, that he was being ungrateful, and at best they would support his effort, but maybe not the time and place for it because it's now wrapped into the sense of patriotism. Do you have concerns about that, and have you heard about backlash directly from what you guys have done?
Well, no one has directly said anything to me. I'm not sure about Quincy, but I know overall, my main idea, I'm not trying to disrespect any of the military. every male on my father's side of the family and even on my mother's side of the family has served in the military. And I don't think that me exercising my First Amendment right is disrespectful. There's actually interestingly enough, you know, the standing during the national anthem for football games, I don't know if I'm wrong in this, but from what I've read, it wasn't always a thing. The Defense Department, the U.S. Department of Defense, actually paid money to the NFL to have them stand for the national anthem because it was a way to make athletes look more patriotic. So before they even decided, oh, we're going to spend a couple million dollars here to get them to stand up and look more patriotic, this wouldn't have been an issue. And then the idea of, you know, maybe this isn't the time or the place. Well, my response to that is, when is the time or the place to talk about issues? There's, if you look at it, pretty much every other time someone tries to find a way to protest, whether it be a march, a peaceful march, or, you know, sometimes it escalates and turns to a riot, which I'm not necessarily condoning, but, you know, or, I don't know, town hall meetings. There's always somebody that's going to object to it and say, well, maybe not this way, maybe not that way. Well, the way I see it, this is a way, and it's better than no way at all.
And Quincy, have you faced backlash or heard backlash directly from your form of protest?
Actually, it's been, at least to my face, all support. And, you know, I understand that, you know, there's people, you know, my peers, people on my team, friends of mine that just don't disagree with the action. And that's something I knew, you know, going in. And, you know, that's something I really considered. And, you know, last thing I wanted to do is, you know, create any type of, you know, division between me and Jamal and some of our peers. And so, you know, I knew all this going in, and that's why, you know, even when doing the kneel, I just wanted to just stress the fact that, like Jamal said, this is in no way, you know, coming from me and him, meaning to dismiss or disrespect anybody who, you know, served in the military, anybody who's in the police force. And I think just me saying that and being sincere in the fact that, you know, I really do not want, you know, that to, for me to come off as that. I think that should be enough for people to respect me and respect, you know, my sincerity, and that's not what I'm trying to do. It's just the knee. The knee is something that if we were to do something else, I doubt we'd be here today getting this, you know, interview. And so I think the thing about the knee is it's so impactful that it causes more conversation that I think that, you know, the pros and cons, for me, weighed in favor to the pros because, you know, we're able to have a bigger impact by doing something that's a little bit more controversial.
And we talked to your coach about this, Norm Esch, and he had said that certainly it is a free speech issue, and he welcomes your ability and desire to say what you want about the issues. I know the coaches are always concerned about anything that could potentially be either, one, a distraction, or two, potentially divisive. Now, it sounds like your teammates have been supportive of this, but if some said, you know, boy, can you just back off? You know, after the season, do whatever you want, but, you know, we don't want that in the locker room. Could that happen? Have you thought about what would happen if that were the case?
Well, the conversations me and Quincy have had were pretty much we don't want it to divide us. We're pretty close with all of our teammates. We're seniors, all of the senior class. We've been here together for 4 years. We're pretty close-knit group. And as of now, we do have everybody's support. But say we don't, I can say I'm pretty sure our Quincy would agree is I don't plan on just not taking a knee. That would almost be – that'd be worth – taking a knee and then backing off because somebody calls you out is almost worse than not doing it at all. Because then you look like, well, you just wanted a couple seconds of attention, and then now what? I don't know, to be honest. It hasn't come to that. I hope it doesn't come to the fact that we have to divide the team, but I can, for one, say that I'll probably still be taking a knee, even if it upsets one or two people.
What if fans see it now when they show their displeasure?
And that's when we can start our conversation. That's where the conversation begins. That's the goal. They're displeased. They come to us. Maybe some people won't be, you know, ready to sit down and have a conversation about it. Some people obviously are going to probably explode a little bit about it. But the conversation begins when we upset people enough to where they want to stand up against us, so then we can tell them what we're not standing up for. So,
Quincy?
Yeah, you know, just agreeing with what Jamal said, but just, you know, the guys on this team. So, you know, before we took a kneel this Saturday, I posted a short message to our little Facebook group chat, just letting everybody know, you know, that we're going to do this, and just asking for their respect. And, you know, ultimately the thing is for me is that, you know, I'm taking a knee, and, you know, for some people, you know, it might rub them the wrong way, make them feel a way about me. But, you know, in my eyes, I don't think that those feelings should ever be strong enough for them to feel like, you know, I'm a different guy than what they've known for the past, you know, 3-4 years, or that's going to somehow hinder, you know, my ability or their ability to perform on a football field. I think that, you know, you really just can't, you know, look at that knee as something that's just so detrimental to me as a person, me as a human. And so, you know, maybe I'm a little naive to think that people won't, you know, feel that way. But I think, you know, the majority of the team is in support. And even if they don't really like the action, they're supportive and they respect my right. And I really don't see it becoming a problem. And, I know people on the team, you know, may feel a certain way, but I just don't think that they feel enough way to really make it be an issue in the locker room. And if they did, you know, I would love to have a conversation to them, whether it be in private, whether it be in front of the team, you know, just to hash some things out. Because I know there can be a lot of, you know, personal things that, you know, go in with a person feeling, you know, strongly about, you know, what the knee might, you know, symbolize to them. And so for me, if it really bothers you that much, like I really want them to feel comfortable with coming up to me and talking, because, you know, that's ultimately the goal you want to have. But I'm confident that our bunch of guys is a respectful bunch, and it really won't cause any issues to our goals.
You, as two seniors and two leaders on the team, you know, could be providing an example for others. Do you anticipate that others on the team might join in this effort? Are you actively looking for others to join the effort, just leaving it entirely up to them? And I suspect that you plan to continue doing this through the season.
Well, we've talked about it with a couple guys. Some guys seem interested, but then when it comes down to it, they're not gonna. That's neither here nor there. We're not actively going out recruiting people like, you have to take the knee with us. But we're also not saying, oh, don't take a knee. It's completely up to them. Like you said, we let them know we're doing it. You know, we told them there's more than one way to support us, either by, you know, just defending us if it comes down to it. Like, if people outside of the team are, like, attacking us, defending us in that case, or if they want to join us on the knee, they can. It's an open invite, but there's no pressure to do either one.
Yeah, I actually do expect more people to join, just from, you know, things I've heard. And we'll see. I don't want to put any pressure on nobody calling their names out, but you know, like I said, yeah, we're not in their ears. Like, you know, you need to do this. You know, you should feel obligated. You know, it's something that if you feel like it's worth, you know, what comes with it, that you should do. So we're never here to push on other people. And, you know, one of the biggest things for me is, you know, I'm seeing this situation unfold on a national scale, and I think the common perception is that people think that you have to be a person of color to kneel during national anthem. That just because, you know, you're not affected by these issues doesn't mean you should, you know, take a part in the kneel. But, you know, I don't think it has to be a black or white thing. I think if you believe that these are problems in our society, that you want to, you know, do your part in fixing that, you know, black or white, Hispanic, you should go ahead and take this kneel. You know, again, that's if you feel it's worth the, you know, kind of the backlash that comes with it.
And I want to go back to that as we're talking with Jamal Jackson and Quincy Butler, two Illinois Wesleyan seniors and members of the football team. Going back to Colin Kaepernick, and I suspect since you are taking a symbolic gesture identical to what he took, there's going to be association that comes with that too, and stances that he takes or is demonstrating, you're going to have to defend too. And by that, I'm referring to the socks that he wore that had the cartoon pigs as police officers. Quincy, people are going to say, hey, do you support that too?
Yeah. You know, the pigs on the socks was a move that kind of, you know, took me off when Colin Kaepernick did that. It's because for me, you know, the whole situation with police brutality and racial profiling is I do think it's an issue. But I'm a firm believer that, you know, I think, you know, the majority of cops are good cops. And the cops are out there looking and hunting people of color. You know, that's a real issue. And I think that, you know, police forces across the nation need to do a better job of finding ways to, you know, filter those guys out, you know. But for me, I'm not going to generalize and say, you know, all cops are pigs. That's not, you know, a notion I'm ready to say at all. So I definitely wasn't really on board for the Sox thing.
And Jamal, does it bother you that you could potentially be associated with that same gesture that Colin had made?
Does it bother me? No. Calling cops pigs is something that I feel like has been around for longer than I've been alive. So obviously, me supporting Kaepernick isn't me, like, saying all cops are pigs. My father's a cop. Like, I have several family members on the police force. I know that there are good cops out there, and I know that there are bad cops out there. My issue isn't with every cop. I don't think they're all, like, pigs or whatever the symbolism is behind that. But like Quincy said, there are some that need to be, you know, weeded out. There are cops that go out looking for trouble. There are cops that assume that just because you have darker skin, you're more dangerous. And there's cops that will stop at nothing to see people of color be, you know, in handcuffs just because that's what they want to do that day. And is that a majority of cops? No. Is that even like 50%, 40%? No. I'd probably say maybe 3%. I don't know the exact numbers, but, you know, even 1% is enough where it needs to be changed. And so I do support that. But not necessarily calling all cops pigs. That's kind of just mean.
And I guess as marketing majors, both, you can appreciate this, that Colin Kaepernick has the number one selling jersey in the National Football League, I suspect purely because of this. But people have also been burning his jerseys after this first happened. What did you think when you saw that, Quincy?
Well, I've always been just kind of bewildered by the whole burning jersey aspect, you know, with LeBron and with Colin Kaepernick. It's, for me, it's just, it just shows when I see somebody burn a jersey, I kind of lose a little bit of, you know, respect for their kind of like intelligence, not to just insult their intelligence, but, you know, I look at you as a little bit less for you to, you know, burn something as you spent your own money with. There's far more productive ways to express your discontent with some of the things Colin Kaepernick's doing than to burn his jersey. So I just feel like it's old, it's cheap, it's lame, it's easy, and it really doesn't show that you fully grasp, you know why he's doing or why you're against it. I'd rather have you express that in words, make a video or something of you expressing your words as to why you disagree and not burning a jersey you paid for. So not a fan.
Now, have you been monitoring the comments online? And I know that is not a representative of society as a whole in almost any subject, but it can get harsh. It can get emotional. People feel very strongly about this. If they feel that patriotism is being, you know, violated or obscured, that does hit people right in the heart.
Well, when it comes to those comments, not to generalize, but I find it funny that a lot of the people just that I've had conversations with or like my little internet arguments with about the taking a knee during the flag are also the same people that support the Confederate flag. I feel like that's more disrespectful and less patriotic to actually say, oh, I support a failed attempt at uprising against the U.S. government. Like, you support that, but you don't support a person taking a knee in the song. I mean, against the song. Like, I don't know. I find that pretty backwards. But, yeah, like you said, it can get pretty heated. There's emotions behind it. There's people on each side that are just as emotional for or against either one. And if I woke up every morning and based my day around how angry people on the internet felt about it, I feel like I would never leave my room. So that's kind of just the you just look at it and go, all right, well, whatever. Thank
you. So you'll be both graduating soon, I would imagine, in the spring. So where do you guys go from here? Of course, you have your careers and those ambitions to concern yourself with, but this is a part of your life. It certainly is now, if it wasn't before. So where do you go with this? What do you plan to do to further what you believe in the next 5 to 10 to 20 years? And where might we be in this subject a generation from now? Jamal.
Well, I've been looking for a way to get more active for years now. And like I said earlier, I don't have the time now to maybe go out and go to a protest or, like, drive all the way to Chicago to walk the streets. I have class here. Like, I can't just do that. But so this was just a beginning step for me. Hopefully, once I graduate and I find some sort of a job so I can survive, then I can be more active. Maybe I can start putting a little bit of money towards some of the things that I believe in, and also having the free time to actually go out and, you know, explore different options. Or, like, maybe one day I can see myself as starting my own little organization against, you know, police brutality or racial injustice and everything. But I don't think it ends here at all. Like, this is very much just the beginning.
Quincy?
Yeah, like Jamal said, once we get out of this, you know, college athlete, busy lifestyle and, you know, get our careers going, you know, I think the opportunities to, you know, make more and more impacts, you know, will present themselves. I think, you know, a goal of mine in the future was, you know, I'll be looking to the possibility of, you know, owning a business, and, you know, I haven't really thought too much about whether or not it'll be a restaurant or anything of that sort. But I think just that in itself, you know, will have an impact on me, you know, my kids, my family, if it's successful enough, you know, they can, you know, grow and have a stable, you know, stable situation to where they can be in a situation where they don't have to worry about, you know, the things that, you know, me and Jamal maybe had to worry about, you know, growing up. And you know, to go along with that, looking to, you know, to get somehow some type of legislation going, you know, with our government to see, you know, how we can improve. Because to me, one of the biggest issues I see with, you know, the social issues is, you know, the education system. You know, people are quick to, you know, bash people in certain situations for how they're living and you know, why they aren't doing certain things. But I think, you know, the core of that is, you know, if you don't have a school that's putting you in the right situations to be great, how can you ever, you know, be that person that helps your family, helps other, you know, in a positive light. And so, you know, like I said, as my career goes, I'll be able to have a better understanding of things I can do. But, you know, as far as owning my own business and, you know, seeing what I can do to help the educational system for, you know, areas of the country that, you know, really need it, and I think those are steps that I think that can, you know, help solve the problem.
All right. I want to thank you both for, I think, an honest and candid conversation about this. And I think sometimes the symbol of a knee can sort of become caricatured, and it becomes an oversimplification for a cause, and you guys are providing some context to it. So I appreciate you, Jamal Jackson and Quincy Butler, both for talking to us today.
Yep. No problem. Thanks for having us.